各位听众朋友，欢迎收听 2CR 澳洲中文广播电台。您现在收听的是这个礼拜的社团消息。今天我们很荣幸能请到来自 Hills Academy of Martial Arts Hills 武术学院的半师傅来到我们的访问现场。半师傅你好啊。
Hello everyone, welcome to TCR Radio. I'm your host Sally today. And today it's our pleasure to invite Hills Academy of Martial Arts founder Shifu Ben to our interview today. Hello Ben.
Hello,、yeah. Hi Sally, nice to meet you. Thanks for coming. Thanks for having me here.
你好 Sally, 很高兴认识你，谢谢你的邀请。
Yeah, good to see you as well. We actually saw on the events that Shifu Ben was performing martial arts, Kung Fu, Shaolin Kung Fu on the stage. And we're surprisingly in a full of Chinese community, which with a Westerner performing Kung Fu in there. So that's the reason for us to asking you here today. So first of all, could you start with introduce yourself and telling our audience about your personal journey in learning Kung Fu?
之前我们在活动现场能看到 Ben 师傅在台上表演着中国武术和少林功夫，而且当时现场有很多华人观众，看到一位西方面孔的师傅表演功夫，让人十分惊喜。所以这也是今天我们邀请您来接受访问的原因。首先，可不可以向听众朋友们介绍一下你自己以及你学习功夫的个人经历、
mm-hmm. Yeah, so my name is Ben, or Sifu Ben, and I have a school in Castle Hill, the Hills Academy of Martial Arts. And I started learning martial arts when I was 6 or 7 years old, and I started with Taekwondo. And then I did that for about 5 or 6 years. And then later on, when I was a teenager, about 15, I started to look into some other, I wanted to do some other style of martial arts. And I didn't really know what I wanted to do at the time. And I was looking around, and then I think I may have watched a couple of Bruce Lee movies at the time. And then one day in the newspaper, I seen there's an ad for Kung Fu.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of like stuck out to me. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. And I had like weapons in the ad. So I wanted to learn weapons. I didn't learn weapons before.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I went to a couple of classes and then I started to really enjoy it. And then I didn't know a lot about Kung Fu when I started.
Mm-hmm.
But then over time, I started to learn more and more about it. And I just got more and more committed to doing it. And then 20 years later, I'm still training and still learning. And now I've got my own school and teaching others as well.
好的，我叫 Ben， 大家也叫我 Ben 师傅。我在 Castle Hill 开了一家武术学校，叫 Hills Academy of Martial Arts。我从6、7岁开始就学习武术，一开始学习的是跆拳道，大概学了5、6年左右。后来到了15岁左右，我开始想尝试学习其他武术风格，但当时也不知道自己真正想学的是什么，于是到处寻找。那段时间我看了几部李小龙的电影，有一天在报纸上看到一则功夫招生广告，那则广告非常吸引我。我当时觉得，哇，这真的太酷了！广告里还有兵器展示，而我以前从未学过兵器，所以我特别想学。后来我去上了几节课，慢慢开始真正爱上功夫。刚开始的时候，我对功夫了解不多，但随着时间推移，我越学越多，也越来越投入。20年后的今天，我仍然在持续训练，持续学习。现在我也拥有了自己的武馆，并开始教授学生。
So what's the reason for you to pursuing this career instead of like making Kung Fu as an extracurriculum or interesting classes?
那是什么原因让你选择把功夫发展成事业，而不只是把它当成课外兴趣或兴趣班呢？
I got the opportunity to make it a career. Like, I started teaching when I was around 20, 21, just with my sifu. And I was taking classes and doing a lot of work there and learning at the same time. And I don't know when, but in that period, I started to think, yeah, maybe I could do this as a career as well at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And then a few years later, I got the opportunity basically to open my own school. And, you know, at the start, it's not a full-time career. Like, I'm still working another job and it takes time to build up. But yeah, over the years, I've built it up enough where I can pretty much just focus on that now. And that's sort of like, you know, it's like a dream because you get to do something that you love to do and then, and also study and learn. And then another part is to continue to like, maybe do some traveling and more learning overseas with our grandmaster or other masters. And yeah, just have that freedom to sort of do that sort of thing. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I can tell that you're...
我其实是得到了一个机会可以把功夫发展成事业。在我大概20、21岁的时候，我开始跟着师傅一起教学，一边上课一边帮忙，同时也继续学习。在那段时间里，我开始慢慢想，或许未来我也可以把功夫当作职业。几年后，我终于有机会开设自己的武馆。当然一开始 这并不是一份全职工作，我仍然需要兼职其他工作，慢慢地把武馆经营起来。但经过多年努力，现在我基本上可以全心投入武术教学，这对我来说像实现梦想一样，因为我能做我真正热爱的事情，同时也能继续进修和学习，而且还有机会出国进修，像我们的主持大师或者其他大师学习。拥有这样的自由，可以不断地精进自己，真的非常难得。
Really into Kung Fu as well.
Yeah.
And for you, I have been told by you that you have learned your Kung Fu journey most likely in Australia. Mm-hmm. So what's the reason to make you so into Kung Fu?
是的，我能感受到你非常热爱功夫，而且我也知道你的功夫学习旅程大部分是在澳洲完成的。那么是什么原因让你这么投入功夫呢？
I learned it, like I met my teacher, he's Australian as well, and then as I learned more about it, I got more committed to learning more, because it's not just, you know, there's a lot of martial arts, like I did Taekwondo, and there's kicking and punching and various techniques involved, mm-hmm. but the Kung Fu has a deeper sort of like spiritual thing about it, and it has a more richer history, and it just has this essence about it that...sort of makes, for me anyway, makes me want to commit to it and learn more and to discover more about it.
Mm-hmm.
And like, there's just, like, you just can't stop learning in the Kung Fu. It take lifetimes to...
To learn it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's so much in it.
Mm-hmm.Yeah.
我只是在学习过程中遇到我的师父，他也是澳洲人。随着学习不断深入，我越来越投入，因为功夫不只是一般的武术。我以前学跆拳道，它主要是踢击、拳击和各种技巧，但功夫有着更深层的精神内涵，历史更加悠久，文化底蕴也更加深厚，它有着一种独特的精髓，让我产生强烈的投入感，让我想不断学习，不断探索。而且功夫的学习是没有尽头的，真的可以说需要用一生来学习，其中的内容实在太丰富了。
So what actually, is there any challenges did you face when you're learning Shaolin Kung Fu?
那么在学习少林功夫的过程中，你有没有遇到什么挑战？
Not big challenges. It is a commitment, like anything. Like if you want to be good at something, you have to commit to it, which means you have to sacrifice other things. So I was, I was training pretty much like 6 days a week. So I'd do like Monday to Saturday. So that meant, you know, I was like 18, 19, 20 years old.
Oh.
So that meant like Friday nights...You know, maybe I didn't go out with my friends and things like that. So, you know, you make some sacrifices. A little bit more disciplined with that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably the biggest challenge. You know, it's like anything. If you want to be good at something, you have to be committed and you have to weigh up, you know, what do you really want? And it wasn't every,
mm-hmm.
I still had some Saturdays off and things. Still had some time to hang out with friends and that. But,
mm-hmm.
yeah, most afternoons, evenings, I'd be doing classes. Mm-hmm. So training and teaching as well. So that's probably the biggest challenge. You know, you give up. You have to give up things.
Yeah.
And you can't do everything. Yeah.
其实没有特别大的困难，但最重要的是投入。如果你想把一件事做好，那必须全身心投入，这也代表着你必须牺牲其他事情。当时我每周训练六天，从星期一到星期六，当时我十八九岁或者二十岁，很多周五晚上我都不能和朋友外出，所以你必须做出取舍，生活也要更加自律，这大概是最大的挑战。但其实这和任何事情也一样，如果你想做好，就必须坚定投入，你必须问自己真正想要的是什么。当然也不是完全没有休息时间，偶尔周六也会放假，也能和朋友聚会，但大多数下午和晚上我都在训练或教学。最大的挑战就是你必须放弃一些东西，不可能什么都兼顾。
And we know that you actually trained a few times back in China in the temple. Can you tell us about the journey as well?
我们知道你曾多次前往中国少林寺训练，可以和我们分享这段经历吗？
Yeah. So...Back when I was training, probably like when I was 20 or 21, maybe 22. And we had, so this is in, what year was it? Early, like 2000s, 2010.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And so back then there was YouTube videos. And like, because I did Shaolin Kung Fu, so I wanted to learn more about Shaolin.
Mm-hmm.
And I watch all these videos on YouTube and whatever movies I could find. So I always had a dream to go to the Shaolin Temple.
Oh.
And then we met another master in Sydney, and he organized, like he would take groups to China every couple of years to do like a China tour. And we said, oh, can you put Shaolin Temple on the list? So, and then we also wanted to go there and do some training, not just like visit, but also do some training there and meet one of the masters. So we sort of organized that. And then it was 2011, and then we went to the Shaolin Temple, and then we trained with one master there for like a couple of hours, and got to see the temple and visit the grounds and walk up the mountain and everything. And but from that, we must have made some good impression, because then that sort of opened the doors, like for my Sifu anyway, and for us to start to become more. He met Master De Young, Grand Master De Young. And yeah, from then he started to open up the doors, and we got more and more visits to, or invitations to go to China and do more training over there. And now the Grandmaster is not, he's not easy to, like there'll be people from all over the world to try and learn from him, but he'll just turn them away. Like, so he's not easy to like
to approach,
to be taught by him. So we thought it was like a real privilege, because he's like one of the best masters. Like, yeah, he's very, very, very good, very high, high level and highly regarded. He's also known as like the master of masters over there. Like he's very highly regarded. And yeah, we were very blessed to be able to just make that connection, and my Sifu had a great connection with him, and then obviously, so for me, it was like, yeah, I got to learn as well, and we started to do a few more trips over there, and yeah, it's really cool. It's luck. We're very lucky. And then the Grandmaster's also come to visit here a few times as well to, to help us learn more.
Yeah.是的，那时候我大概二十、二十一岁左右。 也有可能是22岁， 那大概是2000年代初期到2010年前后， 当时我已经开始练习少林功夫， 网络上开始有YouTube， 所以我会上网看很多少林功夫的视频， 还有各种武术电影。 我一直有一个梦想， 就是亲身前往少林寺。 后来我们在悉尼认识了一位大师， 他每隔几年都会组织武术团前往中国交流。 我们就问他能不能把少林寺也安排进旅程， 而且我们不只想参观， 还希望可以在当地训练， 亲自向大师学习。后来我们成功安排了行程。到了2011年，我们终于前往少林寺。在那里，我们跟随一位大师训练了几个小时，亲眼看到少林寺，参观寺院环境，登山行走，体验了整个少林寺文化氛围。而这次的经历，似乎也让我们留下了很好的印象，也因此为我师父打开了大门，让我们获得更多的交流机会。在那之后，我们陆续收到更多邀请，可以到中国进修训练。但少林寺的主持大师 并不是轻易收徒的人，世界各地有很多人都想向他学习，但往往都会被拒绝，所以我们能获得指导真的是非常荣幸。他是顶级大师，武术造诣极高，在当地声望也很高，甚至被称为武术大师之师。我们非常感恩能与他建立联系。我的师父和他关系深厚，而我也因此受益，获得学习机会。后来我们又多次前往中国交流训练，每一次的经历都非常珍贵，而且主持大师也多次前往澳洲亲自指导我们。
So how's the class in the temple? Is it much more difference in Australia? Does that inspire you as well?
那么在少林寺的训练课程和澳洲有什么不同？ 这些经历有没有启发你？
Yeah, like it's completely different. You know, like here in Australia, we have kung fu, or martial arts in general, is a hobby. It's something that people learn after school in their spare time. They might maybe train 1 or 2 hours a week. The more committed people maybe train a couple of extra days. But over there, you know, most of them are kids, like from like 6, maybe sometimes even younger, 5 years old, and up to like 15, 16, 17 years old. And then they pretty much train like 8 hours a day. And they don't really, like they do schoolwork in that time at some point, but it's not like, this is at the Shaolin schools. So they have like, it's like a martial arts.
Okay, like a normal primary or a secondary school like that.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So they pretty much just study kung fu the whole time, and then they'll have a couple of hours where they do some study.
Like paperwork, English, Chinese, yeah. Like that,
yeah.
Mathematics.
But yeah, they train very hard. And, you know, a basic thing is, you know, we train in like nice air conditioned area. It's got like a carpeted or it's flat or nice mats. It's very comfortable. But over there, like we were training in a dirt car park outside, and it's just like there's little rock things you might slip on, or like it's dirt, like you can slip very easily.
Yeah.
And or it may be like a brick sort of level, like floor.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's usually all the training is mostly outside. Sometimes they have inside, but mostly outside.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hot.
Yeah.
Or it's windy, or it's raining.
Natural environment.
Yeah, yeah. So they're really more in the elements, and But the commitment is very different as well, because. Mm-hmm. Here it's like a hobby. Over there, it's their opportunity to make something of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's their opportunity, like if they train hard now, they can have a future. They can, a lot of them become teachers, or they may join, do some movies or something, or they may join the army or the police. And because a lot of the families that go there aren't the richest, they're more poorer families. They send their kids there to have an opportunity for their future. So it's like completely different. Commitment
in here.
Yeah.
是的，完全不同。在澳洲，武术通常是一种兴趣，学生课余时间学习，一周训练一两个小时。比较投入的人可能多练几天。但在少林寺，学生大多数是小孩，从五六岁到十七岁左右，他们每天训练八小时。当然，期间也会上文化课，但那属于在少林武校里，属于武术学校体系。他们几乎整天练功，只有少量时间学习英语、中文和数学，而且训练强度非常高。在澳洲，我们在冷气房，地面平整，有地垫，环境舒适。但在少林寺，我们是在室外泥土地停车场训练的，地上有碎石，容易滑倒，或者是在砖地上训练。大部分训练都在户外，很少在室内。天气炎热，刮风下雨都必须坚持训练。他们是真正和大自然环境搏斗，而且投入程度完全不同。在澳洲这是兴趣，但在少林寺这是他们改变人生的机会。如果他们努力训练，未来可以成为教练，参与影视表演，加入军队或警队。许多孩子来自比较贫困的家庭，家人把他们送到少林寺是希望他们拥有更好的未来，所以那是一种完全不同层次的投入。
So because we know that Kung Fu for us, we're thinking Kung Fu is more traditional Chinese culture instead of modern style. Would you say that the theory or those kind of forms and then Kung Fu doesn't really relate to the modern society?
我们普遍会觉得功夫处于传统中华文化而不是现代运动。那么你认为功夫的理论和套路是否与现代社会脱节呢？还是依然有关联呢？
Does it relate?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the traditional, like, so the traditional Kung Fu is not just about the physical body, but it's a lot of it's about the mind.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about your mental, like how you think, it's your emotional control, how you control your emotions, and being able to be more focused, disciplined.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, in Shaolin Temple, they're a Buddhist temple, so they want to reach higher levels in their enlightenment and things like that. But they use Kung Fu to train their physical body, and then that also helps them to train their mind, so they can be more focused and more disciplined and control their thoughts and control their emotions, and then you know allow them to be more peaceful and calm and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. So in modern society, like. Everybody's stressed out. Everybody's working too hard. Everybody has so much pressure on them. Even kids these days with school, they have a lot of pressure for get into a good high school, to get into a good university, to do a good course. But they don't really have any tools to be able to manage that pressure. And sport is good, but Kung Fu takes it a different level where you're learning, you know, specific breathing and you talk more specifically about how to, you know, remain calm, how to control your emotions, and, you know, just be more mindful, be more peaceful in general.
是的，传统功夫不仅仅是锻炼身体，更重要的是修炼心性，包括思维方式、情绪管理能力、专注力、纪律性。少林寺本身是佛教寺院，僧人追求的是精神层面的觉悟。他们通过功夫训练身体，同时也锻炼心智，让自己更加专注、更加自律，学会掌控情绪、掌控思绪，从而达到内心平静与祥和。而在现代社会，人们普遍压力巨大，工作繁重，精神负担沉重，学生同样面临着升学压力，进入好中学、好大学，选择好专业，但他们缺乏有效工具去调节这些压力。运动固然有帮助，但功夫更进一步，因为功夫包含了呼吸训练、情绪控制、心理调节，它教导人们如何保持冷静，如何掌控情绪，如何提升专注力，从而让人更平和、 更稳定。
Oh, okay, so would you teach your students during those action, or do you teach them those kind of theory separately in the like classroom or something?
明白。那么你在教学时是在动作训练中安排这些，是在动作训练中融入这些理论，还是另外安排课堂讲解理论呢？
No, it's all in the class. Sometimes it's not. I don't have to explain all the little details about it. I just say, follow me and do this breathing exercise, and they just do it. And then over time they learn. And then, you know, I might explain it down the track, but I don't want to make it too complicated for them, especially depending on how old they are. For the adults, you know, they like to have a little bit more explanation behind it. So, you know, but it's more about just doing it, like physically doing it. And it's in our, the way that you do the form as well. So at the start you have a preparation. So it's like breathing, 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 and then you start.
Okay.
So you teach them that. And then at the end there's another breathing little thing. So it's all incorporated. So they start to learn that as they go. And, you know, everybody's different. Some people will embrace it more than others. But, yeah, they learn it as they go. And then another time they learn it is, so we do, like, sparring. It's like play fighting. And, you know, we always talk about emotional control because, you know, sometimes they maybe accidentally get hit. And they may start to get angry or something like that. So it's like in that point of time you can say, you know, control, you know, take a breath, refocus, relax, and then try to keep that level-headedness. So it's all like, you know, kids, you can talk to them for hours. It'll just go one ear out the other. So you have to be, it has to be done like as they are experiencing it. Yeah.
不会特别分开课堂讲理论，而是全部融入日常训练中。有时我不会详细解释，只会说，先跟着我做呼吸练习，学生先照做，慢慢体会。等时机成熟，再逐步讲解原理。我不会讲得太复杂，尤其对年纪较小的学生，成年人会希望了解更多的背景原理，所以会多解释一些。但核心仍然是亲身练习、身体实践。套路练习本身就包含这些训练，例如一开始会先做呼吸准备，深呼吸，调整状态，再开始动作。结束时也会再做呼吸调节，这些都是融合在训练里的。学生在练习过程中自然就学会了。另外，在对练时也会训练情绪控制，有时被打到可能会生气，这时就要提醒他们控制情绪，深呼吸，重新专注，保持冷静。对孩子来说，讲再多理论也是难以吸收，必须在亲身体验时引导他们才真正学得会。
And we know that you actually follow your Shifu Master learning the Northern of Shaolin Kung Fu. So it's different style of Northern and Southern side, is it?
我们知道你是跟随师父学习北派少林功夫的，南派和北派风格是否有所不同呢？
Yeah, yeah, they're both, we could say they're both Shaolin Kung Fu. There's the Northern Shaolin Temple or the Henan.
Henan.
And then the Southern Temple, there's a bit of mystery and a bit of things about it. Some people say it didn't ever exist, but I think there's enough evidence that says it did exist. And, but there was a Southern Shaolin Temple in somewhere. I don't know exactly. They've actually rebuilt it, but they don't know the original, where the original one was, exactly. But the Northern style is a bit more free-flowing. It's a little bit quicker, has more leg techniques. And then the Southern style is more grounded, and it's a little bit more rigid, and more like, I guess you could say the Southern style is similar, more similar to like a karate style.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Because the karate originated from the Southern Shaolin Kung Fu. So if you think about karate, that's more like a Southern style Kung Fu.
More like hand movements, those kind of...
Yeah, more hands, more grounded, lower, like not so many high kicks and things. And then it's more, you know, like Wing Chun or Hong Ga, Choi Li Foot. But the other difference was this: the Northern style, they were predominantly about themselves and about improving themselves and learning Kung Fu as a way of to strengthen their body, also to learn to defend themselves. The Southern style, because the temple got destroyed like, I don't know when, hundreds of years ago. And then they said there was five masters that sort of branched off.
Yes.
But the techniques, I don't know if they changed or they just were already like that, but they're more for, you know, they became a lot more about combat, a lot more about fighting.
Mm-hmm.
They used to fight each other a lot. And it's more, you know, they had like the Chinese rebels and things like that. Mm. Back in those days, they had the like, so they had like,
yeah.
It's more like a like fighting, like more, I guess a little bit more aggressive style.
Yeah, for territory as long as the story, yeah.
Yeah. The northern style is probably not as aggressive. The southern style is probably more aggressive.
Okay.
Probably a little bit less about enlightenment and spiritual things in the southern styles. More in the northern style is a bit more peaceful. From what I understand, yeah.
Yeah.
是的。 南北派都属于少林功夫体系，北派起源于河南嵩山少林寺，而南派少林寺的历史则带有一点神秘色彩。有些人认为它并不存在，但也有不少证据显示它确实存在。南少林寺的位置一直存在争议，但后来有重建，原址已经难以确定。北派功夫更加流畅，动作节奏比较快。 腿法比较多，南派则更加沉稳扎实，动作偏刚劲，更讲求下盘稳定。某种程度上，南派更接近空手道风格，因为空手道正是源自南派少林功夫。南派强调手法，动作较低，较少高踢，类似于咏春、洪拳等体系。而两者另一大的区别在于，北派更强调自我修炼，通过功夫强身健体。 学习自我防卫，南派由于历史上寺庙被毁，僧人流散各地，形成了五大支派。后来风格更偏重实战，更注重格斗技巧，甚至彼此切磋、对战频繁。加上历史上南方地区战乱比较多，武术更偏向战斗用途，因此南派风格更具攻击性。相比之下，北派较少攻击性，更加注重精神修养。
So as you talk about style, because you have mentioned you learned Taekwondo first before Kung Fu, would that change your, would that shape you to understand or build your own Kung Fu style on in terms of like a cross-culture thing?
谈到武术风格，你提到先学跆拳道再学功夫，这种经历会不会影响你对功夫的理解，甚至在跨文化背景下？ 形成你自己的教学风格?
Yeah, like I did Taekwondo when I was a kid from like 7 to maybe 11 or 12. And then I didn't do any martial arts for about 4 or 5 years. And then I did the Kung Fu. But actually, when I started doing the Kung Fu, the things that I learned in the Taekwondo, I couldn't remember, but some of the techniques were still there, like some of the kicks and things. So it was still sort of a part of me. And you know, Taekwondo has really good kicks, so and the way that you do sparring like is a little bit different. So it still had a bit of a base, from the Taekwondo when I did the Kung Fu later. And but it's a little bit different. Like in the Taekwondo, we got taught like if you're gonna kick, they'd usually wear like some sort of pad or foot protector. And the techniques were more about scoring points. So you'd kick to the chest or to the side of the ribs or something or to the head. But your foot was more extended. But in the Kung Fu, you wouldn't kick like that because you would hurt your foot.
I see.
Because if you're sparring for self-defense or in sort of real life, having to defend yourself, if you kick like that and you accidentally hit somebody's elbow, like you could potentially break your foot.
Oh.
So there's little things like that where you, instead of kicking with the top of the foot, you'd kick with more like the bottom of your foot.
Ah.
And it would be a little bit more pinpoint rather than...
or a certain...
Just like hitting generally to the rib area or to the stomach. Like they're still good targets. But another target like we would always use is just kicking like straight to the knee.
More on the point for...
Because you just kick to the knee, and then if someone's coming forward, you just kick them in the knee, then they just fall over. Don't need to do anything. That's it.
Yeah, really practical one.
But yeah, in Taekwondo, for example, you had to kick above the waist. Like you couldn't kick below the waist. I think in like kickboxing that, you can kick to the legs, but you know, it's a sport. So, and you don't want to like kick each other in the knee because you break your knee, like that's an injury that's going to affect you the rest of your life. So, you know, the sports have these rules for a reason. Like you can't hit to the back of the head, you can't hit to the spine, that sort of thing. But in Kung Fu, we didn't really do it as a sport. We did it as an art, and you learnt it as a self-defense, and you learnt about all of these things. So, you know, kicking to the knee, to the groin, you know, and you learnt about the spine because you learned that that's your weakness. So if you don't want to turn your back to your partner, because if they hit you in the back, in the spine, you know, you could have very bad damage. So some of it is not just about like you hit to that area, like, you know, the spine, you want to hit to that area. You don't want to hit to it, but you need to be aware of it, that it can be in a vulnerable area if you got hit there. So you need to learn how to protect it.
是的。我七岁到十一、十二岁一直学习跆拳道，后来中断四五年，再开始学功夫。刚开始学功夫时，跆拳道动作记忆已经模糊，但身体仍然保留部分技术本能，例如踢腿技巧。跆拳道的腿法非常优秀，对我后来学习功夫有基础帮助。但两者理念不同，跆拳道训练多为竞技体育，穿戴护具，讲求得分，踢击目标通常为胸部、头部或肋部，脚背伸展。但功夫更注重实战自卫，如果用脚背踢击，可能踢到对方手肘导致骨折，因此功夫多用脚底发力，动作更精准。跆拳道主要攻击身体较高部位，但功夫会踢膝盖，踢膝盖在实战中非常有效，能迅速让对方失去行动能力。跆拳道禁止踢腰部以下，因为属于竞技运动，避免严重伤害。运动比赛有规则，例如不能打击后脑或脊椎，但功夫不是竞技运动，而是防身武艺艺术。学习时会了解人体的弱点，例如膝盖、腹股沟、脊椎，了解弱点并非鼓励攻击，而是学习如何保护自己。
I remember that Shaolin Kung Fu, when you learn it, the first day I learned is learn how to protect your head.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And then you need to first protect your head and then do the punching when you are doing in a fight.
我记得我学习少林功夫的时候，第一课就是学习如何保护头部。
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you get hit in the head, like, depending when you get hit in the head, but, you know, it's going to hurt and it's going to cause potentially you to get knocked out.
Yeah.
So these are things that you need to protect if you were to be attacked in any way.
Yeah, in a fight, in a real life fight.
对的，你必须先保护好头部，然后才进行攻击，这在实战中尤其重要。
So, actually, we know that in Australia, because you got your founder for the Hughes Academy of Martial Arts, when you're teaching in Australia, we know that it's a cross-culture, multicultural place. How do you balance and preserving the authentic Shaolin Kung Fu traditional when you're like teaching your Western or different kind of cultural background students?
其实在澳洲这样一个多元文化社会，你创办了 Hughes 武术学院，在教学过程中，你是如何在不同文化背景的学生之间平衡并传承最正宗的少林功夫传统呢？
It's just in the system that we teach. There's a few things like in traditional martial arts or Shaolin Kung Fu or Chinese martial arts, I should say, that is different in Western society. You know, a big one, for example, is the concept of qi, energy.
Oh, yay!
Yeah, and we don't go into depth about it, but it's something that, you know, you just, you know, you're breathing and it's about your energy. And, you know, if you've ever had acupuncture, you know, it's about unblocking and improving the flow of your energy throughout your body. Maybe you have an injury, it's blocked, or maybe you're a little bit weak in one area. So the acupuncture helps to rebalance and strengthen and your internal energy, the qi. And so in Kung Fu, that's also, like in Kung Fu, it's also in the concept of that. And it's just trying to teach people to have an open mind about different things. It's not, I don't like force things like that on people. It's just like having, like people will, some things like that, you know, people either embrace and they want to learn more or they just don't think about it, which is totally fine. So. But also just like in Chinese, traditional Chinese martial arts, they have like a, you know, the Sifu, and they have like, it's like a family system. So the Sifu is like the father, you know, the grandfather is the grandmaster, and there's the brothers and sisters, older brother, older sister. So it's a little bit of like family dynamic in that. And, and for me, like it took, I still don't fully understand it all, but... Like learning things like that about the Chinese family system, it's it's interesting, but it's all about respect. And you know, at the end of the day, it's all about respect. And you know, learning about the culture and respecting other cultures, and just understanding that the martial arts comes from, you know, Chinese culture, and then there's things that we can learn from it. as Westerners.
其实这些都体现在我们的教学体系中，传统武术，尤其是少林功夫，与西方社会确实存在差异。
比如气的概念，我们并不会深入讲解，但会通过呼吸训练让学生慢慢体会能量流动，就像针灸一样，疏通经络，改善身体能量循环。如果某个部位受伤或虚弱，针灸可以帮助恢复平衡。功夫中也有类似的理念，关键是培养开放的心态。我不会强迫学生接受这些理念，有些人愿意深入了解，有些人不太在意，都没有问题。另外，传统中国武术讲究师徒家族体系，师父如父，主持大师如祖父，同门如兄弟姐妹，这种关系体现了中华文化的家庭观念。虽然我仍在不断理解其中的内涵，但这种文化是很有意思的。核心精神是尊重，尊重师长，尊重文化，尊重不同背景的人，理解武术源自中华文化，同时西方人也可以从中学习，这才是最重要的。尤其在澳洲这样的多元文化社会，不同文化融合共存，这正是澳洲的魅力所在。
That's the most important part, especially in Australia. A lot of different kind of culture mix in here, and I think that's the beauty of Australia as well. So I think it's time for us to conclude. So in one sentence, do you have any message you would like to tell our audience who would like to send their kids or any students that are interested to learn Shaolin Kung Fu?
差不多到节目尾声了，用一句话，你有什么想对家长或有兴趣学习少林功夫的听众说？
We have a school in Castle Hill. So if you're in the Hills area, welcome to come and have a go. So our school is called the Hills Academy of Martial Arts. My Sifu is also in Penrith's Emerald Dragon Martial Arts. So get in contact. We've got, you know, we love to teach, and the best students to teach are the ones that are like just, you know, they want to learn, and they're keen to learn, and they give us more motivation and inspiration to learn and become better as well and to teach them. So
yeah,
plenty of space, and I think it's something that everybody can benefit from, so yeah.
我们在 Castle Hill 设有武馆，欢迎 Hills 区的朋友们前来体验。武馆名称是 Hills Academy of Martial Arts. 我师父在 Paris 也有武馆，叫做 Emerald Dragon Martial Arts. 欢迎大家联系我们，我们热爱教学，最好的学生就是热爱学习、积极投入的学生，他们会给予我们动力，让我们不断进步，成为更好的老师。场地宽敞，而且我相信功夫对每个人都会有帮助。
Thank you very much. I think that's conclude our interview today. Thank you.
Thank you.
非常感谢，今天的访问就到此圆满结束。